Good morning. How are you guys feeling? Cold? Excited? Are you excited? Are you excited? Are you cold? Are you happy that we've got Levi as part of God's family? Let's really welcome him with a loud applause for joining God's people. Do you know in heaven they have a party when someone joins God's kingdom? Did you know that? It's recorded in the Bible. Go find it. That's your homework for today. My name is Newton. As Kane mentioned earlier, I'm his apprentice. That means I follow him around, as you saw at the baptistry, and learn the things that he's doing so that in the future I can do the same things. But the good thing is, you are also an apprentice of Christ. You're also a member of God's family, and Christ or Jesus requires you to join him in doing the things that he does. And so today we're going to be following on. We are on the third one of our series on 1 Peter, and we are looking at something called the confidence in a complex world. And I start with a question. Are you a Christian? I don't want an answer. Are you a Christian? Do you know a Christian? Have you heard of Christians? I wonder what that question makes you feel. Does it make you feel like, I am a Christian, but it's a secret? Or does it make you feel like, I want to celebrate, I want to say, yes, I'm one of them? And that one of them is a loaded statement, depending with who is talking about Christians. Because perspectives vary. Christians have had a legacy of doing great stuff. But also Christians are acknowledging always that they are not perfect. They know of our weakness and brokenness. So we all can list big names and small names of people who have influenced us in our Christian faith because of their Christianity. But we also can say of people who are broken and still proclaiming Christ. And so today we are looking at confidence in a complex world, but it's the confidence in that world that we're looking at today. The things we have looked at, just to take us back, we looked at confidence in the gospel, which is the good news. The good news that Jesus has been, that Jesus allows himself to be joined by the littlest and the oldest, all manner of people are welcome into God's family. But equally, we looked at confidence, as Kane mentioned, confidence in our Christian identity. That's why I asked you the question, are you a Christian? What does that make you feel? But then after knowing what Jesus has done and knowing who we are because of what he has done, we are called on not to be people who stay isolated, even though we've got church buildings. We are called on to be people who go out there and become the salt of the world. We are the people who marinate the world and make it flavorful and make it nice and good with our goodness. Because Christ doesn't call us to hold back and hide our Christ identity. A few years ago, I was working with a church in Warrington, the other side of Peterborough. The vicar there had it written at the door of every church building, as you walked out, a few words, which I will always remember. And the words were, you're now entering the mission field. Because that is where God calls us to be Christians, out there, even here, but more out there, so that we can bring positive change in the world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for everyone gathered here this morning. We pray wherever they are at, that you would help them to take away something that would help their lives to be better, that would cause our lives to be changed so we can glorify you. Amen. So I'll take you back, because you've not been part of the series, briefly. When we looked at confidence in the gospel. I shared with the church here about that moment in The Lion King when little Simba and Nala, his friend, decide to go to the elephant's graveyard. How many have watched The Lion King? Don't be afraid, it's an open space. I'm sure there's more than the hands went up. But anyway, Simba, after having a word put in him by Scar, who for this case could be the enemy, against the will of his dad and the warning, he goes to the elephant's graveyard. And he is faced by hyenas at the point whereby if there's no intervention, Simba and Nala are going to be destroyed. When Christians talk about sin and the things we go through in the world, the dangers of sin, it's because sin has the damaging effect on the Christians or on human life. But what happens is, as Simba and Nala are facing these vicious hyenas, at that moment, Simba tries to roar. And his roar is so little, it doesn't help anybody. The hyenas actually make fun of him. And they say, "Oh, it's so funny, do that again, do that again." I can't do Shenzi's voice, or Banzai's voice. But they take the mickey out of him because he hasn't got what it takes to overcome the sin. But then something happens for those who have watched it. In the second roar, something significant happens. Somehow the news have gotten to Mufasa that Simba is in danger. And so when Simba tries to have a go at the second roar, his roar is amplified with the arrival of Mufasa. And so it's a sort of a round, roaring, thundering voice of Mufasa's arrival. Simba hasn't realized that time, but the roar is so loud that the hyenas run away because this is scary. And so for Christians, when we talk about the confidence in the gospel, what we are talking about is with our fighting with all the wild damaging sin, our effort is very little. But Jesus dying on the cross, his resurrection is like this roar. What we've just done is baptism. When we baptize, we say we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We symbolically say they join in with the resurrection power of Christ. It's a good thing. Because in so doing, God allows them to join with him in Jesus' defeat of the sin of the world. So when you hear about Christians, our roar is very little. Our human roar is very little. We are not any better than any other human beings. And I'm sure the Christians in this space would agree with me. But because we carry the power of Christ in us, our roar is amplified so that we can deal with the world with Jesus' power behind us, helping us to be victorious in every situation. And so Peter writes to the people in the Roman Empire in chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a small section of this. So Jesus has roared, he has risen again, and so he has transformed our Christian identity. He has made you and me part of his family. When we say yes in baptism, those vows that we were saying there, when we say yes, something of us changes. Jesus becomes part of us. And so we read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11. I'm just going to read verse 11. 17, and it says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they may malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of governance, are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That's the word of God from 1 Peter. And so we've got this Christian gospel, the message, the roar of Christ helping us to deal with sin. And then we've got Jesus becoming part of us, giving us the victory. How many of us enjoy watching the Olympics? Who's the fastest man alive? What is his name? Do we know the fastest man who ran the 100 meters who still got the record? Come on, guys. Have a bit of confidence. I know you know. Usain Bolt. I was reading about Usain Bolt. Most people know him from all over the world. Even in my little village in Kenya, they know him. He's the fastest guy. Do you know how long, approximately, he has officially run? How many think he's about 20 minutes? That is like his proper participation on the screen when we've watched him. Ken can't answer because he was here the first service. We have only witnessed him run for just under 5.5 minutes. His claim to fame is that short time of sprinting really fast. But if you have an interview with Usain Bolt, he would tell you how many hours, how many years of life he has invested for this short moment of glory. The Christian story is different because we do not fight to get to that point of glory. That point is our starting point. Christ has given us the medal, has given us the victory. And so we fight or we serve from victory. Another nice analogy is a marriage certificate. When should people get certificates? At the beginning of the course? It's very interesting because the marriage certificate is the only document that you are given on the day you begin the course. Have you ever observed that? That's the same with our Christian faith. God has achieved in Christ all the victory that could be achieved. And so he hands you and me the mantle to go out into the world and to be Christians from the point of victory. We can choose to hide our Christian identity. But if we choose not to hide it, the world is well better. So we have the choice today. And it's good that this message is coming to us on the day of baptism of Levi, who has a biblical name. He's in the line of priests. So we've got three priests in the house. But the main message here is that we go forward from the point of victory. And so Peter is writing to the Christians and telling them, you have to be witnesses of God wherever you go. Watch how you behave. Do your best to represent Christ. Be part of God's mission of making the world a better place. People will not accept that. People don't. They think there is a catch, but there isn't. So we move from the point of victory. And as we go forward as Christians, for those of you who are happily Christian, for those of you who are shy Christians, that Christian identity can only keep shining if we remain close to God, if we maintain our proximity. My final analogy as I draw to a close is stainless steel. Do you know what stainless steel is? I'm sure we have ideas of things that are made of stainless steel. I have a few examples in my pocket. This is going to be random. I don't know what you think will come out of my pocket. Have you ever observed that oftentimes behind your spoons it's written stainless steel? And the reason why I want to use this analogy as I close is what has happened to us in our Christian identity is there has been a merging together of the human nature that is broken. Remember that message of the law. There has been a coming together with Christ in Jesus' death and resurrection, in the baptism of ours, in that moment, the coming together causes us to be shiny. It helps us to deal with the corrosion of the world, the rustiness of the world. And the only way we can keep shining, there are things that Peter suggests that we keep doing. One of them, he says, we have to wage the battle within us because we still live in a human body and we have passions and we have temptations. We have things that we desire that are not in line with God's will. We have to fight those things. We have to ensure that we don't get carried away, because when we allow those things in, it's like dipping these spoons in acid. Okay? They're going to corrode. Obviously, they've got the alloy that helps them not to be stainable. But if we deliberately put this in acidic water, it's the same as absorbing or allowing things of the flesh. I'm just going to put my spoons back in the pocket. I'll try and remember to remove them. But a reminder for us, in this Christian stainless identity, there are things that could cause us damage. And those are the things that Peter is saying, avoid those things. If you keep your shine, the world will see Christ in you. A famous preacher who loves to use humor in his preaching, his name is J. John. And J. John says, if you separate Christian, if you remove Christ, Ian is not going to help you. So it's very important to maintain that proximity with Christ. For if you say you're a Christian, stay close to Christ, because he sets us the best example of how we can change the world. I hope there are not many of us who are left with Ian. And Ian is the bit where you fill in your, those census forms, that the only time you become a Christian is when you indicate there in those forms that I'm a Christian. My prayer today is that we would ask Jesus back into our lives so that our Christian identity can be full and flourishing and shining. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're calling us to continue to be close proximity with Christ. Peter reminds us that we live in a complex world. And he desires that we follow your example. I pray this morning for those of us who identify themselves as Christians, that we would stay closest to you. And in doing so, our Christian identity would be evident in our world today. Thank you for Levi. Thank you for him and his parents offering him forth to be baptized into this family of God. My prayer is that in his adult life, he as well will sense that roar of God pushing him forward in his Christian identity. And I pray for those of us here whose Christian identity perhaps has very little Christ, that God, in humility, you would come back to them, come back to us, and reignite that Christian fire so that our identity would be something that we cherish and celebrate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.